Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
This is a very important message. Amen. It literally determines whether a Christian wins or loses in their walk with God, in life. It's the real divider, and that's the gospel. Last week we were looking at the fact that the gospel means almost too good to be true news. The thing someone tells you and you instantly slap them. And it's after you slapped them that you realize you just slapped a person without knowing. Because you're like, this one, you can't be lying to me. You'd better be sure of what you are saying. And we went through several scenarios. And many people were relating with those scenarios, saying, yes, that would be almost too good to be true news for me. And then we got to the news about Jesus, that man's sins are forgiven and God has given us eternal life, the hope of the resurrection. It's one of the things that scares every human being is death. And yet in Jesus, God has dealt with death. The Bible says the last enemy, to be defeated, that will be destroyed, is what? And it's Christ. That's what he's done. Amen. And that we get to taste a bit of that on this side of life, to live with God, in communion with God, in community with one another, and bringing solutions to our world. You see, the world has many things to offer, but the world cannot offer real love. Real love. True love. The one that does not have strings attached. One time we were at a youth camp, and people were talking about love, and they were starting to grade the level of attachment. Says, is that love with strings attached? Then someone said, it looks like it's with a rope attached. Hey! Then another said, no, they have a chain. So, all of that. So the gospel is that Christ has done this thing which turns people into completely a new creation and gives them ability to live and to do things that ordinary human beings are not able to do. Am I making sense? So that's the gospel. That's almost too good to be true news. Ah, Winnie, can I borrow this thing? My goodness. Am I pointing it the right way? Increase the speed. Now, they should make some which you can share with your neighbor. This one seems to cover only one person. What a shock. Innovations. See now, those ones. You should be selling such products now. Wow. Anyway, Lord, please lower the temperatures all over the region. Amen. So the gospel. And we said the gospel is the grace of God. Paul was writing to the Galatians and said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. In other words, if it's not the grace of Christ, it's a different gospel. And he said, whoever preaches this other thing, which is not what we taught you, should let him be accursed. It's ridiculous to even think that people can be told that they can become good by themselves before God. God's standards for righteousness are so high, you will never meet them. Your only choice is to put your faith in Jesus. And that's a good news. And that once you do that, they just say, come in, come in. You're thinking, are you sure? Yeah. One time I was listening to a preacher and he made a very good illustration. Should I share with you the illustration? Are you sure you want to hear the illustration? You know, in the Old Testament, when a person committed sin, okay, I think you didn't even wait to commit sin. You just knew you were sinful. So they offered regular offerings. And you had to take a lamb. Do you know a lamb? I learned from my children that when there is a B, it doesn't mean you should pronounce it. I don't know. In some things, it's a silent B. So I don't know for lamb whether it's lamb or lamb. But anyway, the one with a B. What is this one? This one. A what? Thumb. The people who fix the pipes, what are they called? Plumbers. What happened to the bee? But they are plumbers. And I'm like, plumbers? Even they themselves, they know that they are plumbers. Yeah. They know themselves as what? Plumber. Nonya plumber. Anyway, back to the lamb. The lamb. So the lamb, when someone brought a lamb to the priest, the lamb had to be without blemish. Do you understand blemish? I realize in church you have to teach everything, including spelling and other things. Yeah, those joining us from all the other locations, we are glad to have you joining us. Worship Harvest Nairobi, United Kingdom, Kitengela, Ongata Rongai, Arua Mbale, Downtown, Bukolobi, Chira, Seta, Nabusukwe, Nakwero, Nakulabye, Makerere, Gayaza, Budo, Nakawa, Mukono, Mukono Central, Mbale, I already said Mbale, Jinja, Wairaka, and others. So when you brought the lamb, that I think if it's A, if there's an A, it's you pronounce the B. If it's a U, the B is silent. I think. But I've never heard someone say lamb. I always say a lamb with a B. So, when you bring the lamb, Wow, this is hectic. You bring your wife. Let's try it out. Let's say she's the lamb. You are the sinner. Obviously. In this case. So when you went to the priest and you took the lamb, the priest was charged to examine the lamb to make sure the lamb was without blemish. Guess who wasn't examined? The sinner. Because why did the sinner take the lamb? Why did the sinner take the lamb? They were a sinner already. So they were not examining the sinner, they're examining the lamb. And so when John stands out there in John chapter 2 and says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And you have come to Christ and you have received the Lamb of God. Every time you go before God, do you think he's examining you or the lamb? Now I sense that religious spirits are fleeing this building right now. The one under examination is the lamb, not the sinner. And guess what? God has examined that lamb and has found that lamb to be perfect. Please sit down. Give me Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 10:14. You should memorize this scripture, okay? 1, 2, we read. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Wow! He has done what? For how long? Now, do you know when he says those who are being sanctified? To be sanctified is to be made holy practically. You see, there is a holiness which is bestowed upon you just because of Jesus. Then there is a holiness that you are living out. That's what they call sanctification. Now he says those who are being sanctified. Does that give you a clue as to whether they are already completely perfected? Yes. They are a work in progress. But what does he say about those people who are a work in progress? He says he has perfected forever. Can I look at your phone? There's something I need to. Do you have data? Okay. Open WhatsApp. Amen. For by one, this message is already doing good things to you. I know it. There's a message I'm looking for. You know, when you are wedding, they say, all that I am, all that I have, I share with you within the love of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are sharing. Give me Numbers 23:21. Numbers 23:21. Let me show you something there. Are we okay? I didn't know that heat can silence people until they can't even say anything. But what a blessing. Okay. What? Yeah. Numbers is going to come. Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. Thank you that we will be there, not worrying about the weather outside. Oh, but someone has Numbers 21, 23. I can read it. And I'm still setting up the message. Can I read it for you? It says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Now, this is a very interesting scripture once you see the context. So they had hired Balaam to curse Israel. Balak hired him. They set up an altar. Every time he went in the high places, the instruction was to bless, which means you cannot curse what has been blessed. And it happened 3 times. Now, the third time, he didn't even bother to do the sacrifice. He just knew God is going to tell him to bless. And so he starts speaking this oracle about Israel. You can give me the scripture back. And he says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen. Now, if you are even a casual reader of the Old Testament and the book of Exodus, you will see that this statement can only be a statement of faith. But this is the oracle God is giving Balaam concerning Israel. That God has not observed any iniquity or wickedness. What a shock. Now, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That your own life experience, and if you're married, what your spouse would say about you in an unguarded moment, is very different from the record of heaven concerning you. This message also can humble people until they can't even say anything, because you realize all along you thought you were a serious spiritual person, and now God is showing you you have contributed nothing. I'm the one helping you. Now can you imagine these guys who the law was given, they broke it before it reached Moses. Is those things getting the tablets? By the time it reaches down, they already worshiping an idol. They already have another God before God. Commandment 1 and 2. Already broken before we start. Like failing the exam before they give out the paper. That was Israel. And he says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob or wickedness in Israel. You see, your problem is that Satan has convinced you that you do not deserve your father's love because of your failures. You have completely disregarded the fact that your father knew you would fail and offered in advance. His sinless son, so that you could in advance be blessed and have access to him. And you know, once you understand what I'm telling you, Satan cannot come around and start having conversations with you. You're like Lucifer. You're correct in all that you're saying. You're 100% correct and you're 100% wrong, because you're completely disregarding the sacrifice that was made concerning the things of which you are accusing me. That is grace. So in Acts 20:24, by the grace of God, I will finish this message. Paul writes and says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That was the ministry of Paul. Testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Could it be that's why he was so effective? You know, human beings fear the grace of God. Because I think, now if you're telling me I'm forgiven, what will I do not to sin? There's someone called the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. He will convict of righteousness, sin, and judgment. Are we together? Don't live under the idea that you must have laws to have a good relationship. How many of you married couples, you have laws at home? They're even written on the bedroom door as you enter. Laws. The laws concerning socks. Laws concerning plates, cups, and their access to the bedroom. You can be there and pretend like you don't know anything I'm talking. Yeah. Pastor, we are back at 4 p.m. for what men want and what women want. Laws concerning the toilet seat and in what position it should be left by the last user. Laws concerning the toothpaste tube and the manner in which The toothpaste should be extracted. You are not understanding. So you see that the letter kills even marriages, but the spirit gives life. Now, you want to kill your marriage? Set up laws. You'll kill it quicker than Satan can. You want life? Engage grace. Praise God. I feel like I'm preaching better than you're listening. So grace is the life-giving message of the good news about Jesus Christ. Amen. So that was a recap. 10 advantages of grace, or 10 advantages of the gospel. Hey! Are you ready for it? Advantage 1. Grace brings salvation. Grace brings salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. How have you been saved? By grace. So what happens if there is no grace? Can there be salvation? No grace, no salvation. The day you got born again, had you cleared all your sins? Look, even after you got born again, we still need to investigate you. So, you realize you just came. You believe that your sins are forgiven, and you got into a relationship with God. There was no evidence presented that your sins are forgiven. So, grace brings salvation. Hey! Titus 2:11. One, two, we go. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What brings salvation? If you want people to get saved, tell them about Jesus and what he has done for them. If you're telling them how much of a sinner they are, that one they already know. Is there anyone here who doesn't know that you have ever committed sins? Oh, yes. What does grace bring? Look, if we can end at point one and go home. Salvation is by grace. Two men went to the temple. One said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this other tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give. I give what? I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. You see, legalism is dangerous. You measure yourself against other people, not the standard of God. And when you're a legalist, you actually look down on other people. And then he said, he first said what he's not like. Then he started presenting his credentials. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Keep going. And so this guy is, it's all about what he does. And then the tax collector was somewhere in the corner beating his breast saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went home more justified rather than this. Justified is just as if you had never sinned. His recognition of the fact that there is nothing good he can bring to God is what gave him access to God. And this other guy, who was doing all the things people do in church to be okay, was not justified. Grace brings salvation. Ah! You have understood. So to be saved, you have to embrace the grace of God. You come just as you are. Amazing grace. Sweet the sound. Saved a wretch. Once you put on your credentials, I'm the pastor of Worship Harvest, I don't know what, I fast on the other day, I give tithes, you're feeling no salvation for you. Yeah, God is not interested. Amen. Two. Are you ready for point two? Every time I want to move on, I feel like I haven't finished that point. Eh? Yeah, I feel like someone is still thinking they have their contribution there. No. No. I say no. Yeah. Salvation is by grace. So that's why Jesus got into fights with the Pharisees the whole time. Because the Pharisees were like the modern day Christians. They have a superior attitude about their spirituality, which is really based on nothing. Look, if it's about you, it's nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need to humble ourselves. And you see, once you receive this grace I'm talking to you about, you find that you even start treating other people better. Yeah. Because for us in our marriage, we were having a bad marriage because we didn't know grace. Terrible. 3 years. The wedding was in church. The marriage was from hell. And then we started learning about the grace of God. And what? Everything changed. Ah. See? Sometimes I wonder how people manage marriage without grace. Because I tried. It nearly killed me. Oh, God. Point two, grace makes faith possible. Grace makes faith possible. Romans 5, 1 to 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Grace makes faith possible. The verse we read earlier on, by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is a positive response to what God has done by grace. Let me illustrate. Grace would be, where is my wallet? Should I give some money today? You see, now that's grace. Yeah, that's grace. God is there wondering who to bless. Huh? It's like, the YXP team. So, Maya come. She was leading very well. So now, were you thinking that I'm going to give you money?
I don't know.
No, you were not thinking about it. It is purely my initiative. That's grace. That's when you're there minding your business, God is thinking, plotting good things for you. That is grace. Now, so God said, okay, I say, Mayor, Sam Cash. What is your positive response?
Receiving that cash.
Okay, receive. And then what do you say? Now, what she just did is what we call faith. Receiving what you have been given, what has been provided. Now, grace makes faith possible. How about if she really wanted to receive, but I'm not giving? Even if she has faith to get money from me, if I don't give it, it's pointless. See, that's why many people in church, their faith is weak. Because they are operating from the position of convincing God to release something, as opposed to God has already released something, and all I need to do is receive it with thanksgiving. And cause inflation. I'm going to take my time. It's better for you to understand than for me to finish. So one, grace brings salvation. Two, grace makes faith possible. All your faith knock back in God and what and banging the wall while praying is useless if God has not provided it. And in most cases, God has already provided it, but you think he hasn't. Yeah, that's why we say, have a dance party. You haven't had your dance party. Do you know why? You think you don't know that people who dance are those who are celebrating victory. That's why when you graduate, there is a dance. When you marry, there is a dance. When you get pregnant, there is a dance. When I don't know what, there is a dance. Why are you dancing? Because you're thanking God. You're celebrating what is already done. So when you go and have a dance party with no evidence of anything, you are celebrating in advance. Point three. Grace builds you up. Grace builds you up. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Not any other word. What happens? Which is able to... I don't hear you. You have to read it to believe it. The Bible says, Joshua, don't let the word depart from your mouth. Which is able to do what? To build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Grace is able to build you up to be a strong Christian. If you find that you're weak, when the devil blows, you fall. You need grace. Yeah, why are you like, why are you featherweight in the spirit? You need to be heavyweight. The devil goes, nothing. Nothing. The more he blows, the more it's like it is the unmoving. Yeah. Because you are built up in him. Where is the scripture of built up in him? Ephesians 3. Look, if you type in built up in him, it will come. You're so kind. I think the temperature is also affecting their laptops, so Yes, seriously. Rooted and built up in him and established the faith as you have been taught abounding in. So, rooted and built up in him. You can be built up in Christ, but what builds you up? The word of his grace. You want to find the strongest, immovable, unthreatenable Christians. They are the ones who have received the word of his grace. People who know that God loves them are impossible for the devil. Yeah, one of these days there will be a meeting in hell and demons will be asking to be reassigned. They are like, don't send me back to that lady in Wasi Palace. She's too much. Every time I go, I see fire, fire only. Why? You're built up. Hey, or in Kibare. Ogumire. I think it's. Who taught me you're in Kibare? Is it Elder Kisha? Anyway, so that's what grace does. That's point what? Point four is grace gives you an inheritance. It's in the same scripture. Therefore, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In other words, even though all those who are sanctified have an inheritance, not all of them are living in it. But the word of his grace is able to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Jesus was talking to the disciples, should be John 16, either 16 or 14, but not 15. He says, all things that the Father has are mine. So he says, the Holy Spirit will come and declare to you that which is mine. Okay, and he says, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said he will take of mine and declare it to you. Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8. There's an inheritance. Oh, this is super good. So grace will give you an inheritance. For whatever reason, your parents may not have left you an inheritance. But you don't have to worry. God will give you an inheritance in Christ. In Christ. I'm telling you, start believing what I'm telling you. Yeah, don't be there, say, Mukade, Mama, Monaco. You are not a Monaco. All of you. With a huge inheritance in Christ. Should we continue? Are you seeing it? Grace will give you a what? Big time. Big time. I feel like this is too much. Can I keep going? Five. Grace will help you to reign in life. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigns through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The expectation of heaven is not that you're getting by, merely surviving in the struggle, in the hustle. No. The expectation of heaven is that having accessed the inheritance, you will reign in life. There's a young man in the United Kingdom called Prince George. He's what, 8 years old? 10. How much money does he have? He's worth around $5 billion already. Either 3.5 billion pounds or $5 billion. 10 years. 3.4 billion pounds. Anyone here with 3.4 billion pounds? I go back. I stay up here. Let's talk about grace. I'm talking about grace. Huh? Why is your neighbor getting annoyed? We haven't even started the real examples. 8, 10 years? 3.4 billion pounds. That's about $5 billion. Why? He's so hardworking, eh? He works harder than you. He wakes up earlier than you. Goes to bed later than you. He has more degrees than you. What? More friends than you? Look, you've done everything, but first start to believe you have an inheritance. And then it's a spiritual nature, so you need to convert it. Yeah. See me? In my small world, I'm flourishing in the ministry. Church, what? You think these things were given to me by my parents? Said, Moses, you're going to be a pastor. We've left you land in such and such a place, in such and such a place, and some buildings. May you go and do a good job. Don't let us down. Don't swaz. And some of you, that's where you've put all your hope. You're even fighting with your relatives. Look, if you could only see what God wants to do in your life, you realize you need to leave your relatives alone. In fact, the little that's there, you need to give it to them, because where will they go without that? As for you, you're sitting on a heap of resources. So, inheritance and reigning in life. I know when you're in church, sometimes you're expected to, you know, say things in a way that don't rub people the wrong way. But sometimes you need a bit of you need a certain type of nudge. So, I say, if your life, that's not by definition, observation, in your own way, tend towards royalty in the way in which you're living it, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And I want you to forget all the other things that are disturbing you. Yeah. That's all I'll say for now. Because if I go any further, people are like, yeah. I can tell you. Oh, by the way, when people don't think you are, if you look like everyone else, you're not reigning in life. Yes. By look, I don't mean like look, okay? I mean circumstantially, yeah. Because for the people who are reigning, there is always a sense of it's different. Everything is different. The abode is different. The transport is different. The clothing is different. The friendships are different. The resources are different. I'm trying to be a pastor. Don't accuse me of saying I said that people who are not a certain way are not a certain way. I'm trying to be a pastor. I'm trying to lift up my people. I'm trying to tell the people there's a place in God for you where you shouldn't look like the neighbors. You should be the reference point of the neighborhood. Do you think when someone is going to Buckingham Palace, they will try to direct them using another house in the neighborhood? Ogenda Buckingham Palace? Kakati wali wawe nyumba rikama batiga ready. Bojiita kobot. Bobuli zao. Ojakubo tuse ku Buckingham. Rather, it's the other people who said, no, my house is about 2 miles away from Buckingham Palace. Reigning in life. I hope I'm inspiring you and not annoying you. But if I'm annoying you, it's also intended. Reigning? Which life? This one. Some people all they're waiting for is heaven. What will you do with earth? He said, occupy until I come. He didn't say hide until I come. He didn't say survive until I come. Nice. Next week. let me run through the rest of the points. 6. Grace gives you access to power. Yeah. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Look at Galatians 3:5. Now I'm finishing. Galatians 3:5. What does it say? Therefore, he who supplies, not surprise, who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by the hearing of faith, and faith is a positive response to what God has done by grace. In other words, there are people in your midst who supply the Spirit and who work miracles, and they don't do it by their own goodness. When Paul and Barnabas, what city was that? Lystra. When Paul looks at the man who was born a cripple and spoke to him and he stood up and they started bringing oxen to sacrifice, saying the gods have come among us. This one is one. And he said, no. They tore their clothes and said, don't think this thing is happening because of our own goodness. Remember that? Same with Peter, the man at the gate of Beautiful. When he was healed, and then the people were running towards them in the temple and said, do not think this thing has happened because of our own goodness. You should be supplying power and miracles, and you are not, because you're looking for your own goodness. You look a long time. Grace gives you. From today, in your missional community, there are going to be only miracles, power, move of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Why? Because you're not looking at yourself. You're looking at the one who holds all power. Number 7, grace helps you to labor more abundantly. This is too good. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. People think when you understand grace, you'll become lazy. No, it will be the exact opposite. You will become unstoppable. You will have a certain resilience, certain results, certain tenacity, capacity, capability. Hey! Labored more abundantly. Yeah, if at your office where you work, if you are the one who goes by law, you'll clock in exactly when you're supposed to and clock out exactly when you're supposed to. Yeah. But those who have received abundance of grace and they believe the boss loves them and their company is theirs, what? They don't have working hours. Yeah. They come early, they leave late when they need to, because they've owned the thing. Grace will make you labor more abundantly. Yeah. Those who sit around saying, we are in grace now. I'm waiting for God to do something. Those have not received grace. The real people who have received grace are the ones who are not stopping to work. Because they know they are not slaves. They are not employees. They are heirs. Number 8. Grace helps you to live a godly life. This is the one where we should have even had more time. Because this is where all the arguments come from. Romans 6:14. And then Titus 2:11-14. I'm finishing. My points are out then. 4:1-3. Read. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under... In others, how do you know you're under grace? Sin is not having any dominion over you. That habit, that addiction, that desire. Once you get under grace, just... Yeah, I know someone who was a chain smoker for 32 years. And they come under this environment of grace and... See, this is the thing that worries people. If I believe God's love, I feel like I might go and sin. No. Yeah. Someone sent a video that they gave this illustration. It's like being rescued from the water. If you don't know how to swim, they rescue you and then you jump right back in. That's not going to be your immediate... Yeah. If you are invited to a wedding, may you be invited to weddings. And someone buys you a wonderful, nice, white suit. You know, like those ones which are put on by preachers. You don't wear it to work. Your boss will wonder what's going on. What's going on here? But once you get that suit, do you know your first reaction is not going to be to roll in the mud?
No.
Rather, the more aware you are of how precious what you have is, the more you work towards safeguarding it. In my experience, I find that the people who don't understand grace are the ones who sin casually. Yeah, the people who understand grace, they are not into sinning because... Sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under law but under grace. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Doing what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present. Who is teaching us that? It's the grace of God teaching us. Anyone who comes to you and you say, why are you sleeping around? And says, the grace. You say, no. It's no grace. You're serving the devil. Because the grace of God teaches us to live soberly. We could as well go on talking about being sober. But I will just leave it as one word. Righteously and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's how you know grace has come. You're zealous. I see people here. Media team. I had to tell them no more arriving at 5 o'clock. Because a couple of them had been mugged by thugs. I told them, 6, you must come at 6. They are volunteers. They are not paid. But they want to come at 5. And then they leave. Like today when we have that evening event, they will leave at 8. And people, all the pastors, let me tell you, those who are not pastors, let me tell you, I pastor the best church in the whole world. Yeah. And all the pastors, they keep asking, people, what do you give them? Overwatch, why are they so passionate about the ministry? Grace will give you zeal. You will want to do good. Even when you fail, you'll pick yourself up and say, I'm going to try tomorrow. Yeah. So grace helps us live a godly life. Nine, grace brings healing. Yeah. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? You realize healing and forgiveness go together? And grace is a function of forgiveness. Or rather, forgiveness is a function of grace. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Look at 2 Peter 2:24. It must be 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. It starts with the sin part. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And by whose stripes you were healed. 10. Let me finish. God has helped me finish. Do you want the 10th point? This 10th point, it's going to tickle you the right way. Yeah. In fact, when I finish the 10th point, you'll thank God you came to church today, even when it was hot. Grace makes one rich. Second Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You are not rich in spiritual things. No, rich in tangible things. You see, Jesus did not become poor in spiritual things. He didn't become poor spiritually so he could be made rich spiritually. No, he became poor practically, physically, tangibly. That you might become rich. And he says it's the grace of God. You know, one of the things they've accused Worship Harvest of, a good accusation, wherever this church exists, they say, that church of the rich people. That church of the rich people. I mean, someone had to explain to the people of this village, Naria, there, that you actually don't need to have a car to attend this church. Because they were convinced, someone had told them, can you say, you have a motor car? Your car is coming. Now, can you imagine such a thing, that's the reputation you have out there? Many years ago, even when we were still a small church, someone went to a bank in Jinja and they were talking to a teller and they had the church begins on Monday t-shirt on. And so the teller said, oh, you're from that rich church. This was when Jinja was even a small church meeting in a small room in a hotel. But we already, now, yes. So you, when you are from Worship Harvest, you cannot go and convince your relatives that you're broke, that you need help. They'll be like, no, 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 no. You'll make your pledge. You do things, there's a Kwanjulo wedding. You make your pledge and everyone looks at you like, I thought you are from Worship Harvest. How can you be pledging only this much? Because when you are from Worship Harvest, there are certain pledges we make. They are in our families. You know what I'm talking about? All my stories are true. Yeah. Why? Grace. Grace. Yeah, Pastor Kathy is my relative. Don't you see our pledges on the family group? Don't tell them, they might want me to join their family. But one of the ways to be broke is to be a legalist. Thinking God is calculating you. Every time you do something, boom, remove more money. Jesus said that sometimes that's why the non-believers do better than us. Because at least for them, they know God is not for them, but neither is he against them. They are like, God is there, I'm here. Let me hustle and succeed. If you are in charge, you're saying God is against you. What a shock. So those are the 10 advantages of grace. Can we stand up and read them out? Hey, put them up, put them up. 1, 2, we go. What's the first one? You're not loud enough. What's the first one? The second one? Makes faith possible. The third one, grace builds you up. The fourth one, grace gives you an inheritance. The fifth one, grace helps you reign in life. The sixth one, grace gives you access to power. Tell your neighbor, I'm a powerful person. Tell your neighbor something. Let me tell you to tell your neighbor something. Tell them, neighbor. I don't know if you'll get anything, but I'm sure taking everything for myself. Point 7. Grace helps you labor more abundantly. Point 8. Grace helps you to live a godly life. Point 9. Grace brings healing. Shout the last one. Oh, yes. Clap those hands to Jesus, who has saved us, who has healed us, who has given the best for us. So, Father, we thank you that you love us to bits, that you are mad about us and not mad at us. We bless you. Even this morning, we come to you, not because of our own goodness, not because of anything we've done right, but all our hope is in Jesus. This church is about him. Our lives are about him. Our families are about him. Thank you that in Christ you've given us everything. Friends, even as we close the service, we don't want to close without giving you an opportunity to make a commitment to follow Jesus, to receive this grace. It is free. Salvation is a free gift. Amen. Can I ask that we don't move around at this time? This is a holy moment, so just don't walk around as we close the service. So if you are saying, Pastor, pray for me, I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you were invited by a friend, or you have always been coming, or today you understood something. Can you put your hand up? I want to pray for you to receive Jesus. You're saying, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. Put it up straight until I've seen it. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see many hands across the room. Wherever you are, can you come here? I want to pray with you. I want to shake your hand. At all the other churches, there are pastors at the front. They are receiving you. They are waiting for you. Please come with them. Can you walk with them? All the people coming from all sides. God bless you, sir. You're blessed. God bless you, my sister. You're blessed. God bless you, my brother. Keep coming. Keep walking. Let no one stop you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. Oh, yes. This is a great day. This is the day of salvation. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Keep coming. Don't let anything stop you. Grace is available. Grace is available. From this side, from upstairs, we will wait for you. Don't let anyone stop you. God bless you, sir. You are blessed. Oh, God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Keep coming, keep walking. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you from upstairs, downstairs. Oh, yes, keep clapping as they come. Oh, grace brings salvation. Grace brings salvation. Grace brings salvation. Oh, God bless you, my brother. These are our VVIPs. Let's welcome them as they come to receive Jesus. Oh, yes. I see you coming. Just keep walking. You are unstoppable. Oh, yeah. You guys are not excited enough for what's happening this side. The unstoppable people are coming. Unstoppable. Can I shake your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Your life will never be the same. Never, 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 never be the same. God bless you. Keep coming. Oh, yeah. Wow. Amazing. Now I know we are about to go. The time is almost up. I still have 3 minutes. Last boarding call. Flight heaven. Flight Jesus. Flight salvation, flight eternal life, flight rich, flight healing, flight joy, flight peace. Hey, you can ask your neighbor, ask them, can I go with you, in case you're the ones who are still back there. Ask them, tell them I can go with you. Tell them in the altar call we support Liverpool. They say you will never walk alone. Immediately after the altar call, you go back to your team, and I don't know how they are doing. But we want to give you an opportunity. It's a great opportunity to get to know the Lord. Amen. Pastors, are you here? Oh, they are here. Okay. Anyone else? Last boarding call. Last boarding call. Someone is coming from up. Thank you. Someone else. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Today is the day of salvation. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Today is the day of salvation. Just come. Just come. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Ah, powerful. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, children. Oh, yes. Amazing. God bless you. Awesome. Oh, yes. More people are coming. Let's celebrate. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Can we shout a shout of praise to Jesus, who loves his people, saves his people? Can you pray with me? Just pray what I pray. The Bible says that with the heart you believe for righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. So let's pray. So say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For today.
For today.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for the gift of Jesus.
Thank you for the gift of Jesus.
To take away my sins.
To take away my sins.
And to give me access to you.
And to give me access
today,
to you. Today,
I receive him.
I receive
as him my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Today,
I declare
that I'm born again.
That I'm born again.
I don't belong to the devil.
I don't belong to
I
the
belong
devil.
To God.
I belong to God.
I don't have death.
I don't have death.
I have eternal life.
I have eternal life.
I don't have sickness.
I don't have sickness.
I have health.
I have health.
I don't have poverty.
I don't have poverty.
I have wealth.
I have wealth.
Because of what God has done.
Because of what God has done.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. I want you to go with this brother Trevor. Just over there. Where are those round tables? We want to take your name. We want to reach out to you. We want to pray for you by name. Amen. If you have your bag somewhere, you may go get it. Then you just go right here, next to those two windows, and we'll be able to contact you. Let's appreciate them as they go. God bless you so much. Oh. Hey. Yeah, your celebration has ended quickly. VIPs are still walking. Woo! Now, there's something I need your help with, which I forgot. But you're going to help me. Aren't you going to help me?
Yes.
Now, we still have room in the building for more people to come to service, but we are out of parking. And because this church has rich people, parking is an issue. And so we are wondering if we can investigate more services. Is that okay?
Yes.
So what I want you to do for me is that QR code, take out your phone now, scan it, or if you take a picture of it, does it work? You're sure? Later, how do you work with a picture? How do you point your phone at the picture which is on the phone? Anyway, just check. And there are going to be some options there of service times you'd of preference. You choose two. There is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Those are five, but you choose only two. You say, if I was to choose a service to go to, it will be this one. Because I know some of you prefer earlier services, some of you prefer later services. We are going to do this even in the YXP so that we get to know, to decide what services to put and to serve you better. Is that a good thing? Yeah. Later on, we'll get more parking, we'll get more land, or we'll build a parking garage, several floors, so that as you come with your limousines, we are not hindered. Amen. Oh, yes. This church, you're rich people with limousines and what? Some people want helipads. We are going to take care of all of that. Yeah. Amen. Have you understood? So, I think it's easier to choose. Eh? You just TNT and you're done. Huh? Android is suffering. Oh, so they choose from one of the two, eh? Okay. This is interesting. Or should we have made one choice? Anyway, I thought giving you two choices would give you... So what if I want to choose both 8 and 9? You still can choose 8 and 9. Our guys who set up the QR code, you've foxed me. Let's redo it. Those online, don't choose. This is for Nalia only. Please, I beg. Have you already submitted so we can't undo it? Let's try and choose one time to see. Because the way it has been set up, it's like you have to choose from, yeah. And you may want prefer earlier services. So QR code team, that didn't go so well. Do it again and choose only one. I'm so sorry. Do it again and choose only one. Because I'm trying to figure out whether you prefer earlier or later and how much later, or you're just an in-between. It can't do again. Okay. We'll try next Sunday. No, don't worry. We'll use what we have. And then we'll see. If we don't get clarity, we'll do another one. It's done, eh? They have refreshed. So, okay, it's refreshed. So you choose one. Choose just one. Moja. Yeah. One vote. Pick. And don't be political about it. Also, don't choose 9 because you always come to 9. Maybe you want earlier, maybe you want later. So the options are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Some of you want to fast sleep until 11, then you come. We will take care of you. Some of you want to come and then you go to play golf. We'll take care of you. Others, you like to cook a whole thing on Sunday, and so you want to come earlier. We'll take care of you. Okay. This thing, it only works with your phone. I can see that some of you, your phone is in your pocket. You're looking at me like this. They finished. Even the refreshed one, where you choose only one. Awesome. You're the bestest people. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your kindness and your goodness and your grace to us. Even as we go home, may you bless us as you have blessed us. May we walk in that blessing. I pray for complete healing for anyone who may have any condition in their bodies, in their minds. May you restore them totally. May the miracles overflow this week at work, at home, in traffic, in office, in business, in the missional communities, in every environment, because of your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.